Our Lord said in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." The title of this message is The Way Made Plain. And I hope that's exactly what it is, the way made plain. There is a city of refuge, and it's the responsibility of the preachers of God to make the way clear and plain, to make it so that the signposts can easily be read and there are no stumbling blocks, useless stumbling blocks thrown in the way of the fleeing sinner. I want to speak to you now on the way made plain. Did you notice how this text began? Verily, verily, I say unto you. Several times in the book of John, our Lord uses these words, verily, verily, I say unto you. And I believe, and many people who write about these things believe, that this indicates that it's a statement of the utmost importance, special importance. It means, this is what it means, verily, verily, I say unto you. It means surely, surely, amen, trustworthy. It means this, most solemnly, I assure you, most solemnly. It's of special importance. Now, here are some of the statements that he preceded with these two words, verily, verily. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Most solemnly, I assure you, that except a man's born again, he'll never enter the kingdom of God. And then this statement, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. In other words, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in agreement. They're three in one and one in three. And one does not act without the other. And our Lord is saying most solemnly, I assure you that I came to do the will of my Father. That what I tell you, these are the words of God, and the works that I do are the works of God, and the mission upon which I have come is his mission. I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me, most solemnly, I assure you. And then this one, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, these religious people thought life was in the ceremonies. They thought life was in the law. They thought life was in the mechanics of religion or the orthodoxies of doctrine. And Christ said, most solemnly, I assure you that life is not in these things. It's in substitution. It's in the Son. It's in the blood of the cross. It's in the sacrifice of his body. It's in the Lamb of God being slain for our sins. It's in receiving Christ inwardly, not going about some outward system of do's and don'ts and laws and statutes and rituals and ceremonies. That's not it at all. Most solemnly, I assure you that life is in the person of Christ and becomes ours as we receive Christ and are brought into a living, vital union with the Son of God by faith. And then another one, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm the door of the sheepfold. Most solemnly, surely, surely, I say this is true. This is trustworthy. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. There is no other door. There is no other way. I am the door. This is of greatest importance. Did you hear what he said? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The subject that he introduces here, I told you, when he preceded something with, most solemnly I assure you, verily, verily, I say unto you, this is of special importance. Well, what is the subject? It's eternal life. It's freedom from condemnation. It's salvation. Can anything be of more importance? I know that we all have many questions that we would like to have answered. We have many things that we want to know, but all of these things can wait till we get this question answered. What must I do to be saved? How can I obtain eternal life. And our Lord gives the answer. The way is made plain. Most solemnly I assure you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And my friends, all doubt is removed when our Lord says, I say unto you. You see the next word there? Verily, verily, I say this. This removes all doubt. Nothing but the truth can come from him who is the truth. This is the key to this verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you. I say this. It's true because our Lord says it so. Let God be true and every man a liar. This is true because Christ says it so. Most solemnly, I say unto you. All arguments and doubts and fears and debates and logic and reasoning must lie down at his feet. Let the Son of God speak and let his servants hear. And if you reject his word, you reject him. And if you reject him, you in turn reject him who sent Christ. That's what he said. He that heareth me heareth my Father. And he that heareth not my words heareth not him who sent me. And when he sent his disciples out to preach, he told them the same thing. He says, he that heareth you heareth me. And he that rejecteth you and your words rejecteth me and him that sent me. So verily, verily, I say unto you. This is Christ speaking. This is our Lord speaking. All right, what does he say? Now, my friends, we're not sent to protect the word or cautiously guard the word. We're sent to preach the word, and that's what I intend to do. It's useless to talk of being his disciple if we're not willing to lay aside all our traditions and all our heritage and all our human wisdom and all our human logic and just bow to the word of God. I wish we'd do that in our churches and colleges and seminaries and quit being critics of the word of God. And just be hearers of the word of God and believers of the word of God. Receive Christ's word by faith. The Apostle Paul said, I had to lay aside all my heritage and all my tradition and all my accomplishments that I may win Christ and be found in him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I appeal to you this morning. Listen to God's word. Verily, verily, most solemnly I assure you, I say unto you, that's who's talking, Christ is speaking. Let's see about the way of life. He says, he that heareth my word. He that heareth my word. Now, it doesn't appear from the words of Christ here that life is communicated by drops of water on an infant's head. That's obvious, isn't it? And we're talking about eternal life. Are you willing to listen? Most solemnly, Christ said, I assure you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Everlasting life is not communicated by drops of water on a baby's head. It doesn't say that here. Now, men may say that, but Christ didn't say that. Certain churches may say that, but Christ didn't say that. He said, I say this, he that heareth my word. And it doesn't appear from this text that eternal life is communicated by beautiful religious ceremonies, however impressive. He doesn't say, verily, verily, I say unto you, if you'll get in the processional, if you'll kneel at a certain time and stand at a certain time and light a candle at a certain time or go through certain rituals and ceremonies that you'll have eternal life. He that heareth my word. He that heareth my word. It doesn't appear from this text that life is communicated by dreams and visions. Christ didn't say, most solemnly I assure you, he that has an outstanding vision and who has a midnight dream and sees a sight that's never been seen, hath eternal life. Or sees a statue with a tear rolling down its cheek. Or sees some certain signs in the heavens. He that heareth my word. That's pretty clear, isn't it? He that heareth my word. It doesn't appear from this text that life is communicated by obedience to laws. It didn't say, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that obeys my commandments hath eternal life. That'd let all of us out, wouldn't it? He that heareth my word. What Paul said in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What did Isaiah say in Isaiah 55:3? Incline your ear, hear, and your soul shall live. here and your soul shall live. What did Paul say in 1 Thessalonians 1:4? Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came to you not in word only, but in power, in assurance, in the Holy Ghost. What came to you? The gospel. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. My friends, those who come to saving faith and everlasting life do so first. Not by dreaming dreams and seeing visions and going through ceremonies and rituals and christenings and confessions, but he that heareth my word. They hear the word of God in regard to sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what God says. Sin bringeth forth death. They hear the word of God in regard to sin. They hear the word of God in regard to Christ. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Christ the Lord. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved except Christ the Lord. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. They hear the word. The word says that. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Christ said, I'll give you rest. You hear the word. And they hear the word about the cross and the word about the resurrection and the word about the intercession of Christ, the word about his mediatorial office. He's our only mediator. He that heareth my word. That's so important. I say this to you, Christ said. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Take heed what you hear. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Not the waving of some man's hands, or the mumbo-jumbo of some man's foolish foreign language, or the ritualism and ceremonialism of some fellow leading a procession, or isolating yourself like a hermit in a commune and acting religious. He that heareth my word. That's pretty plain. All right, look at the next line. He says, and believeth on him that sent me. People who have everlasting life and are delivered from condemnation not only hear the word, but they do something about it. They believe it. They not only hear the word of God, but they become believers. They're not hearers only, but they're doers of the word of God. They're believers of the word of God. They believe God. Like Abraham of old, it says in Romans 4, Abraham believed God. Not just believed in God, or believed on God, or believed about God. He believed God. God came to him and told him to leave his father's house and his kindred and go to a land that God would show him. And he left, not knowing where he was going, but he believed God. When he was 90 years old, God came to him and said, you're going to have a son, an heir. He'd never had a child. Sarah had never born a child. Abraham had no heir. 90 years old. Sarah was almost that old. He believed God. He didn't know how, but he believed God. And 10 or 12 years passed, and the son still wasn't there, but he believed God. Sarah doubted, but Abraham believed God. He didn't know when. He just believed God. And then after the boy was born, in the greatest trial of Abraham's faith, God told him to take that only son whom he loved up to a mountain and sacrifice him as a sin offering, and he was going to do it. Why was he going to do it? He believed God. God had already told him, you see, that that son would be his heir. So he knew that if he took the boy's life, God would raise him from the dead, because God had already said he's the heir. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Isaac. And God never takes back anything that he says. And Abraham knew that. And he'd already seen Isaac risen from the grave. He saw him dead and risen from the grave in his mind of faith. He believed God. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though tested by every foe, that will not tremble on the brink of any earthly woe. That kind of faith God will bless. He that heareth my word and believes on him that sent me. Do you believe God? And then Abraham believed God, not knowing where, not knowing when, not knowing how, not knowing why. And the scripture says he believed God was able to do everything that he promised. And this was not only written for Abraham's sake, but for ours, to whom righteousness will be imputed if we believe on him who raised Christ from the dead. Do you believe? I feel like the centurion of old. Lord, I do believe. Help thou mine unbelief.
These people have heard God's word and they believe Christ. And let me tell you something. I keep hearing people talk about faith in a personal Savior. Faith in a personal Savior. Let me tell you something. Now you listen to me. It's not so much of great importance you're believing in a personal Savior as this. Personal faith in a living Lord and a living Savior. It's not just faith in a personal Savior. It's personal faith in the only Savior. No one else can believe for me. I've got to believe for myself. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And these people not only hear God's word and believe God and believe Christ, but they receive Christ. They receive Him into their hearts. True faith produces action. True faith produces works. They received Christ. To as many as received Him, to them gave He the right, the privilege to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. They believe. They receive Christ. They receive Him as their prophet to reveal the Father. They receive Him as their priest to make an atonement. They receive Him as their king to reign over Him, to reign over them. That's right, totally right. Christ is sovereign. He's king. He's Lord of all. He's not a doormat named Jesus. He's not a fire escape from hell. He's not an insurance policy to keep in the safe till the time comes to use it. He's Lord in the life of every man whom He saves. They receive Christ and they keep on believing. That's something else about this thing of faith. It's not an isolated act that I hear people talk about, well, I'm saved. I believed when I was 12 years old. How about now? Faith groweth if it's real, if it's living. Anything that lives grows. One of the marks of death is it quits growing. This pulpit here, this desk will never grow. It's dead. But now, things that live grow. And faith, if it's living faith, grows. We have believed, we now believe, we shall believe. The just are justified by faith. The just shall live by faith, and the just shall die in faith, or they are not redeemed. If any man departs, the Lord says, I have no pleasure in him. And we are of the household of Christ if we hold fast the profession of our faith firm unto the end. They keep on believing. I most solemnly say unto you, he that heareth my word, the words of life, the words of truth, the words of conviction, the words of grace, he that heareth my word, the words of substitution, the words of sacrifice, the words of satisfaction, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, what's the next line? Hath everlasting life. It doesn't say shall have, may have, could have, looks forward to having, but hath everlasting life. Right now, it's a present possession. Do you believe that? Well, it says that all the way through the Bible. It says, beloved, now are we the sons of God? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Romans 8 says, if we're children, then we're heirs of God. In Romans 8, verse 29 through 31 says, whom he foreknew, foreordained, he predestinated to be children of God, to be conformed to the image of Christ Jesus, whom he predestinated, he called, whom he called, he justified, whom he justified, he glorified. 'Tis done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's, and he is mine. I have eternal life. Well, we were dead. We were dead in sin, just like others, even as others. But in Christ we live. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You have, right now. We have eternal life. What is life eternal? Well, the important thing about life eternal is not the length of it. It's the quality of it. It's the life of the eternal one. It's divine life. It's spiritual life. Actually, everybody's going to live forever. That's right. There's going to be a resurrection of the dead and the living. There's going to be a resurrection of the believers and unbelievers. There's going to be a resurrection of those in Christ and those who never knew Christ. They're going to live always, either in judgment and darkness or in light and glory. But everlasting life eternal life is the life of the eternal one. It's divine life. It's what Adam lost in the garden. If Adam had never sinned, he would have lived always in that state. God created Adam and breathed into his body the breath of life. He became a living soul, not a dying soul. The body dies, the soul doesn't die. Not actually. It goes on and on and on. It's a living soul. It's created by God, in the image of God. It can't die any more than God can die. Satan can't die. He's a spiritual being. Man can't die. The flowers die. The animals die. Man's soul never dies. It'll never die. It lives always. Created in the image of God. It came from God. Life came from God. But when Adam sinned, he lost spiritual life. He lost the life of God, the divine life. And when we're saved, redeemed by believing on Christ, we have everlasting life, eternal life, the life of God. It's restored what was lost in Adam. And we live unto God. And notice the next line, it says, and it shall not come into condemnation. Now this ought to be comforting to every one of us. You know what a better translation of that is? Most solemnly I assure you, Christ said, I assure you that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, right now, already has eternal life, the life of God. The very fact that we see the beauty of Christ means that we have eternal life. Because eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of the son of natural men, the things that God's prepared for them that love him. Christ said they have eyes but don't see. We see, that means we already have life. We hear the voice of God speaking in his word. That means that we have life, or we wouldn't hear. There was a day when we didn't hear. We walk with Christ. That means we have life. And he says they shall not come into condemnation. And the best translation is this. They shall never come into judgment. Never come into judgment. That's right. When a man believes on Christ, he receives all the benefits of Christ's work. In Christ, the law has been honored. In Christ, the law has been kept. In Christ, righteousness is secure. With his holy garments on, I'm as holy as his son. Near, so near to God, nearer I cannot be. In the person of his son, I'm as near as he. I'm seated with Christ in the heavenlies. So are you who believe. In Christ, justice is satisfied. There's no satisfaction to be demanded. It's paid. The debt is paid. The ransom is complete. We're redeemed. We're complete in him. The scripture says God had chosen us in Christ that we should be holy, without blame before him. Listen to these scriptures. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The peace is already declared. God's not going to open war with us again. He's not going to declare war on us again. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, not in our merit or righteousness, but in him. Listen to Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no judgment, no condemnation to them who are in Christ. Listen to Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know anybody who can be against us if God's for us? If God's for us in eternal grace, if God's for us in substitution, if God's for us in divine call, if God's for us in divine predestination, who can be against us? You got any suggestions? If God be for us, who can be against us? What does it matter what man shall do unto you? We have no fear of men. No concern whatsoever. God's for us. Listen to this verse, Romans 8:33. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Bring on the charges. Who has a charge to bring? No one can. When God says he's clear, he's clear. That's the highest court. You can't appeal any higher court down here on earth. If you have a little battle down here in the city court, they take it to the county court, and then they take it to the state court, and then they take it to the Supreme Court, and that's the end of the road. And the Supreme Court rules, and there's no higher court to which we can appeal. And let me tell you something. My case has been settled in the highest court. God's satisfied. And God says he's justified. And there's nobody else that can condemn. Who is he, Romans 8:34, that can condemn me? Christ died, is buried, risen again, intercedes for me. Romans 8:35, who can separate me from the love of Christ, which is love of God, which is in Christ? If our Lord has answered every charge, what is there left for me to answer? So we shall never come into judgment. And then the last line, the way made plain,
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath life eternal and shall never come into judgment, but is passed already from death to life. Notice where judgment is. Now here's death, the death of sin, the mire and cesspool and dunghill of this world, the guilt and shame and corruption of human nature. There's resurrection, glory, eternal life. In between is judgment. You can't get there because you can't get through judgment. If you come to judgment, you got to face your sins and you're cast into hell. If you come to judgment, you got to face God's wrath and you're cast into hell. If you come to judgment, you got to face your iniquity and transgression and you can't get there. Judgment prevents you. But wait a minute. If somebody will go here and satisfy judgment and take our judgment and satisfy all that's demanded, then we can pass from death to life. We can go around the judgment. And that's what we've done. He said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is already passed, already seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Christ has removed the judgment for the people of God. Now, you who have not Christ, the judgment's still there. Glory and life is here, and you're here in death and judgment, but what's between you and life is judgment. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, judgment. And that's what you can't get through, is judgment. Christ can take you through. And that's my message. I raise no other issue with men other than what think ye of Christ. I present no other foundation than Christ. I hold out no other hope than Christ, the hope of glory. I know no other mediator. I know no other high priest. I know no way to God but through Jesus Christ. I invite you to look to it.